across the board, 90-day freeze on rents, profits, wages, prices, et cetera, be followed by a totally controlled economy. They were all totally controlled. They believe that the future of America, as I believe, as I trust all of you believe, is entirely free of rent and a more controlled economy. The steps that I will announce tonight would seem to be opposed to that goal. Actually, they are not. They are necessary steps, steps that have to be taken for reasons that I will spell out in my speech. The speech will be available to you at 7 o'clock. It has not been completed. If you want to speak on the present time, it will be delivered to you and to the members at the same time. The press will have it before, at least one thing, before you read it in the press. I'm going to meet the three members of Congress at 5:30, and something will be said to them. The highlights of it are this. I've already indicated that we rejected the proposition of a 90-day freeze across the board, which incidentally would have been down here on this desk, or in the desk there, to go up or down in a matter of a few weeks if we did not act. That is not the only reason for that. In any event, it does indicate that there is a pragmatic problem. It's quite difficult. What we have done, what I have ordered here, and will announce tonight, are first a 60-day freeze, maximum 60 days, and we go longer than that on prices. The freeze will not include wages, will not include products, will not include rents, interest dividends, and other goals they have previous programs. Raw agricultural products cannot be included because it's impossible to prevent it. Control programs on that could be mounted without resulting in reductions in supply and eventually higher prices. So it does not include wages, not because we're trying to be easy on labor, but because as we looked at the causes of the present inflation, we couldn't make labor the culprit at this time. Labor management settlements have been highly responsible up to this time. And as I will say tonight, if they continue to be responsible, they will not be included in free. But the gift, of course, is very important. Because there are two or three more settlements that come up, most of the big two behind this are two or three more. We trust that they will be responsible as a gentleman. Whether they will be responsible, I think will be quite affected by the action they take tonight. Because in the event that the leader of a major union, for example, the Teamsters are now in the midst of negotiations, autos come up later this year. In the event they have to go to their membership in the face of a 50% increase in food, they just aren't going to be able to hold the line on wages. No way. That was loud and clear as we stood here exactly. So, 60-day freeze on prices, that's all retail prices. Second, it will include, in addition to that, a number of other items which I will just touch briefly in charge of. It will provide in that 60 days a 30-day period basically in consultation with labor and going along that and other very interest groups as to what should follow. Now, what should follow on here will not be a return to phase two. It will not simply be the status quo in phase three, but it will be designed as a follow-on program which will do the job without putting the American economy in a straitjacket and moving us toward inevitably a permanently controlled economy. That's my major goal. In other words, what we want to do, we're one of the biggest booms in history. We want to control the boom, but not any of us. And if we did not move at all, we might have continued inflation for each of us. If, on the other hand, we remove the most stringent controls that the Senate has already approved the Democratic Caucus and the moment discussion with each other. The other is yes, there are across the country, not in a month, but across the country, a number of disturbing reports of very sharp increases in supply of gas in service stations. And sometimes, luckily, we're not aware of that on that 60 days. That will be followed by the program, price development for gas at one pump. Having said that, when we talk about a ceiling of prices and stability for food prices and stability for gas prices and the rest, all of you know that that doesn't mean a thing unless you do something on the supply side. Or a ceiling on something, but unless you have supply, you have black market, you have ration, and all the other things that we all have heard the conclusion we're going to. So moving to the supply side, as far as food is concerned, I am, of course, asking the Congress, as I have previously, for farm legislation that is not inflationary. I'm not spelling out the attitudes on it, but I can assure you that I have taken a very hard look at the farm legislation coming before us, and there's not going to be any consequences for farm legislation. Inflationary, I can't say. It is going to be necessary for us, of course, to have legislation. This will affect food only potentially for more authority in terms of surplus commodities. Third, even more important, we're going to tackle the problem of the demand abroad. Here we have enormous problems with our State Department friends, our NSC friends, and the rest, because it runs exactly counter to what we've been trying to do and actually what the farmers want. I love to sell this stuff abroad. We've had surpluses before. We've always wanted to have markets abroad and all that sort of thing. But at the present time, for a variety of reasons, a huge but much increased demand here, much increased demand abroad, bad weather and bad crops abroad, and atrocious weather here in the United States, we simply have a shortage of belief is temporary, but just going to continue to exist for the next 3 to 4 months. And we must deal with it and deal with it effectively. That is the reason I'm going to ask the Congress regarding the economic reporting system, regarding any additional licenses for the sale of feed grains. I'm going to ask the Congress for some authority, additional authority, to control exports abroad and to balance those against demand at home, putting it quite candidly. The consumer in this country must come ahead of our foreign friends. I don't mean that our foreign friends are going to be put down the chute. I don't mean that we're going to be responsible, but I do say that in that respect, that it comes to the hard choice between whether or not we're going to have meat and egg on the tables here and prices to afford, and whether or not we're going to serve the interests of an American foreign policy for India or Pakistan or Timbuktu or the rest. The American consumer is going to come first. But we need some authority from the Congress to get it. Those two areas will, of course, be mentioned. I should mention a couple of other things I'm going to ask congressional leaders to do, but I will mention to you. Long term, in order to handle the inflationary problem, we've got to deal, of course, and continue to deal effectively with the matter of the budget. If the budget exceeds the limits that we have put upon it in substantial amounts, it will create pressures for rising prices. Therefore, I ask all of you, as I will ask the members of the Congress, to continue to support the very large budget that we have, but to support it at the levels that we have indicated. We will also ask in the energy field, incidentally, we're going to have a major energy message that I think Roger's going to be probably on Saturday, 11th and 13th. We don't want to trap on the story. And also, we're quite ready for it to be another major energy message on Saturday. But I am putting that to the Congress again on the Alaska pipeline, everything else. That isn't going to solve the problem of gas at the pump now. It will have an enormous effect on it later. And we've got to get going on that as well as on a number of other things. I noted, for example, in the paper this morning, the Libyans confiscated the bunker hunt company. And that's an indication of things to come. And it is an indication of some of the enormous problems we face insofar as an energy shortage, not only here, but in Europe and in Japan in the months ahead. With regard to this entire program, honestly believe in a controlled economy, like John Kenneth Calvin, who believe we should have a totally controlled economy. I don't believe that. Then the question is, why do we do this? Why not just sit here with phase three, see whether or not we survive? Well, you've got a pragmatic problem in the country. Carnegie's going to let us sit here. And if they send out a bill, which they would do without any question, I've checked this out quite thoroughly, of mandatory controls, a freeze for 90 days to be followed by mandatory controls of wages, prices, and profits, that bill, I'd have to veto. And that bill would go over my veto. There wouldn't be any question. We get a little argument on that. They'd say, well, some of the labor leaders will be there to change their minds. But they'll say that in this group, but never outside. Because their membership, unfortunately, most of the people in this country have been led by the hand for so long, they kind of went and used all control so they wouldn't have to make these decisions. So that had to be stopped. That was the pragmatic problem. The other reason is this. Phase three is a far stronger program in keeping the forces of inflation under control than anybody realized. We've been doing a great deal. The difficulty is that we've had a very, very great problem in getting it across to the people. It's the old story, the very old story, told all over the country. I used to hear it in a Quaker fashion. You know, the old man out on the field just eating hell out of his donkey with a great big club, but a little Quaker lady came up with a monitor. Why does he hit that animal, that poor dumb beast? Why does he strike it? Why doesn't he talk to it? He turned and said, "Man, I'm just trying to get his attention." What we're doing here is we're going to get the attention approach with this 60-day freeze. Beyond that, however, we are going to get in place what we believe are necessary moves in two critical areas, primarily the food area, dealing with it both on the demand side, more important even on the supply side, as I said before, and also the energy side. That, of course, is important to a number of special interests. It's important to us, and we'll do more so later on. With regard to the entire program, I can say finally, there was very, very great and honest disagreement among members of our staff, among members of this cabinet, members obviously of the Congress, those who had thought about it, and frankly, in the whole community, the financial and other community. If I can come to a handling decision, the decision is not made in an opportunistic way, but it is, in my opinion, the right thing to do at this time. It will deal with the problem. It will focus attention on the problem. It will buy the time that we need to have in order to get across the country. One, what our real goal is, a free economy in the end. Two, what we are doing to deal with the problem that basically people are very, very concerned about. And three, in addition to that, to convince the people that not only are we dealing with it, but that our program is the right program. Now, that brings the cabinet in. We all think in terms of the next 60 days. I always thought of June, July, August, these are the next 3 weeks. Take the time off. Take a little time out. That would be nice. We would afford maybe. But let me say that we need all of you out as much as you can. And in this instance, more than with just the average person, if I can say, with the opinion makers, with the those of the international and economic field and so forth. This is a good program. You don't have to be defensive about it. You don't have to be defensive about it with the conservatives. You don't have to be defensive about it with the radicals. Basically, it's a good program, but it needs understanding. It needs to be so. This administration's record in the economic field is a good record. And I'll let you conclude by simply talking to some of the positive results. We hear so much that is wrong in our economy. Our country today, we overlook, and this is almost a cliche, so much to be right. And I would only suggest that on the economic side, we look at our rate of inflation, it's bad at this time. Although at the end of last year, we had reached the lowest level in the industrial nation. But when we look at the other side of the economy, we are experiencing the biggest boom in American history. There are more more jobs and higher wages. There's more opportunity in America than ever before. We don't want to kill that. We want it to continue. We are in the middle of basically a broad expansion of our economy, a rapid increase in our growth. And it is tremendously important that we have policies that will continue that upward movement, but at the same time, will take care of this infection, this oil, maybe prickly oil, that irritates so many people, in particular irritates those who have Peter Mann's financial balance. So the American economy is good. It has a problem. It is a problem that is not limited to America. The British have, the French have, the Germans have, the Japanese have. Most of them have it worse than we have. But that doesn't, however, mean that ours, therefore, should be brushed off. It is a worldwide problem. It does mean that Americans have always expected more than most people in terms of dealing with such problems. And so we are going to deal with it in the most effective way possible. And this, we believe, is an effective way to deal with it. I was going to conclude by saying, you're talking about whether you're right, don't overlook your speeches and so forth, in addition to all this. And the fact that we have a splendid economic team, George Shultz, Erskine, John Belmont, are superb people. We had the benefit, too, of John Conlon's advice on this, and it's now some most perfect. And all of these men support the program, although all of them have strong reservations about parts of it. They supported it now that we made the decision, which of course is the way of doing all these acts. These men have my total confidence, and they will continue to. We hope to administer the freeze in an orderly way. We hope to have phase four come out in a way that will not put a straitjacket on this economy that can't be put on. Because our goal, I emphasize again, is a free economy, as free as possible. Because that's been the secret of the success of this country. No reason to change it now. Don't change the game plan when it's worked as well as it has. Having mentioned that, however, don't overlook the enormously great achievements that we have in the foreign policy field. I can mention other things. Because of your own fact, the crime level has gone down. Not only in Kansas City, it has gone down 25%, but across the nation. And we turned that one around. The fact that we're making progress on drugs and so forth. The fact that our campuses aren't all on enough for them all to return. The fact, for example, as you mentioned, that for the first time in a generation, no Americans are being drafted. I heard nobody saying that. If they're saying it, it isn't being printed. I said it the other day in Florida, and everybody gasped because except the kids are being drafted. The fact that for the first time in 12 years, no one is being killed in Vietnam. The fact that for the first time in 8 years, there are no POWs any place in the world. The fact that we're going to meet with Brezhnev next week in the most important meeting between two heads of superpowers in history. And out of that meeting could well come, I'm confident will come, could well come an understanding that could make greater progress toward our goal of enduring peace than any time that any of us can remember. He said that as a matter of fact a couple of weeks ago. I don't ordinarily agree with him. But on this, he could be right. I hope so. If he isn't right, and if I'm not right, then we're all in very deep trouble for years ahead. But the point that I make is that in terms of our goals, which we have the day we arrive here, of having a full prosperity without war, without inflation, we've come a long way. We have the peace. That's the problem areas. We've got the peace. We've got the prosperity. We have the inflation at the present time. It's never going to go totally away. There will always be some. And this is not going to be easy. And many of the economists will pick it to pieces before it ever comes out. Because their interest is not looking at it objectively somewhere. It's really to find what's wrong. Because, and I understand that. On the other hand, we have done very well in this field, and I am confident that with the kind of management we have, our economic managers that we're going to go through this period with this, what I call, doing just enough to deal with the immediate problem, but not so much as to Phase four will be limited also in coverage. Limited to do just enough to do the job, but enough to do the job. I think with that kind of a program, that's one that all of us get up and stuff, fight for it, and talk for it. I hope we can make a few sales. So as far as your time is concerned, I would suggest even those of you who are not on the domestic side, people from the State Department, the Defense Department, the speeches you made about state defense, you can say something about these funds. It's going to be hard for the State Department to talk about these perimeters the way I have, but the point is that we'll do all right with them. We're going to keep all of our commitments. None of our commitments are going to be, of course, reneged on. But it does mean that in the future, in terms of the sales of commodities, particularly free feed grains, which determine the prices, as you know, of beef, of pork, of poultry on the American table, then in those areas, before we go too far and sending them abroad, we've got to take a hard look at what it's going to do at the prices of those particular commodities at home. That's the major part of this. It will not be well understood, and the Congress has to help us a bit, although we're going to set up a reporting system that will help us quite well. Again, so that's my summary of it, George. All you have to do, George, go on, because he's got to go out and read the press.
Share your main pitch and your trial on.
Okay,
a very complete summary, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
That's what you said.
And we do appreciate your advice. I do appreciate the notes that you sent me on this. I read them all, including reading all of the various opinions of my economic advisors. I think I'm reading your opinions. That's why I didn't get much sun on that floor. But nevertheless, they were extreme, very, very helpful. And the fact that we may not have come down exactly the way each of you would have it means that perhaps what we have done is about right. Okay.